A stomach virus, Jillian suggests when she comes home from work and is informed that Sally won't touch her chicken noodle soup or her tea and has asked for the curtains in her room to be drawn. Sally can hear them still. She can hear them right now. How they whisper and cook dinner, laughing and cutting up carrots and celery with sharp knives. How they wash all the laundry and hang the sheets out to dry on the line in the yard. How they comb their hair and brush their teeth and go on with their lives. On her third day in bed, Sally stops opening her eyes. She will not consider toast with grape jelly, or Tylenol and water, or extra pillows. Her black hair is tangled, her skin pale as paper. Antonia and Kylie are frightened. They stand in the doorway and watch their mother sleep. They're afraid any chatter will disturb her, so the house grows quieter and quieter still. The girls blame themselves for not being well-behaved when they should have been, for all those years of arguing and acting like selfish, spoiled brats. Antonia phones the doctor, but he doesn't make house calls, and Sally refuses to get dressed and go to his office. It's nearly 2 a.m. when Jillian gets home from Ben's house. It's the last night of the month, and the moon is thin and silvery. The air is turning to mist. Jillian always comes back to Sally's place. It's like a safety net. But tonight, Ben told her he was tired of the way she always left as soon as they were finished in bed. He wanted her to move in with him. Jillian thought he was kidding. She really did. She laughed and said, "I'll bet you say that to all the girls after you've fucked them 20 or 30 times." "No," Ben said. He wasn't smiling. "I've never said it before." All day long, Ben had had the feeling that he was about to either lose or win, and he couldn't tell which it would be. He put on a show at the hospital this morning, and one of the children, a boy of 8, wept when Ben made Buddy disappear into a large wooden box. "He'll be back," Ben assured this most distraught member of his audience. But the boy was convinced that Buddy's reemergence was impossible. "Once someone was gone," he told Ben, "that was the end of him." And in the case of this boy, the theory was irrefutable. He'd been in the hospital for half his life, and this time he wouldn't be going home. Already he was leaving his body. Ben could see it just by looking at him. He was disappearing by inches.